Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy, what did we like today?
Well, we spoke to our old friend from Ireland, Jarlath Reagan, who I spoke to him about quite a few matters. He was on good form, as he often is.
He was.
Martin Kellner with his week of sport on TV. Again, very funny. And Mike Ward with his weekend of non-sports telly.
That's right. It's all here. We'll have a bonus clip for you very, very shortly. So stay tuned after all this.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Paul. And interesting news about Lewis Hamilton. Did you see this? He's lost a 3-year legal battle with a luxury watchmaker over products that bear his name. Hmm. He took on the Swiss company Hamilton International after it registered Hamilton as a trademark across Europe. And, of course, Morris and Chico are delighted. They're quite worried.
They haven't got to worry about it. You're indeed that musical might have had to be renamed Verstappen or something. I don't know.
That wouldn't be much of a musical.
It's quite difficult because I would imagine they've been around for a long time, the Hamilton watch brand, haven't they, really? It's not like they rocked up after Lewis. But anyway, I don't understand these things. We was the first Christmas card of the year. Always comes from one of two people to us. Chatterton Park, the fine club, always send us a card.
And, Beryl?
Well, this is the thing. Beryl Blick, who's a regular TalkSport listener, sends a Christmas card every year. Lovely lady. She goes on a cruise every Christmas. So I feel for Beryl at the moment because obviously a kind of pattern is completely up the wall, so that's a great shame. But anyway, I hope Beryl's out there, and I think she maybe gets in the mood by getting a paddling pool in the garden. I'm just looking out the window.
I don't think that'll work.
No,
we've both been enjoying, as many people have been, The Crown, drama on Netflix. I'm sure you all know what it is. Mm. But interesting thing in the Times Diary today, because Rob Curling, the veteran sports presenter, good bloke, Rob. Mm.
He's
in it.
Of course he is, yeah. He's in the equestrian bit, isn't he, for Princess Anne? Yeah,
well spotted. He does the...
You haven't got up to that one yet, have you? Or have you watched that?
I've watched three.
It's when Princess Anne's doing the
I'm sure I've seen that one, yeah. That's okay. Is that the first one?
No, it's second or third, I think.
But it's very interesting because there's been a lot of chat about them, of course there has. But royal expert Penny Juner, the royal biography, she's talking about the panorama interview, the controversial interview. She said it was a trigger for so much that happened. Without it, Diana and Charles may still be together. You think, you're not much of an expert, are you, really? They were never going to be together. What are you talking about?
Oh, Andy, you're getting right into it. It's like TalkSport gold. Royal news from the late 80s. It's never going to last. She must never be queen. Anyway, we won't go down that road again.
And mistletoe, good news, really. Mistletoe will be allowed this Christmas.
Okay.
But no kissing, sadly. Okay, well, unless you're in a bubble.
What do you do?
Do you
bump fist or elbow, get under the mistletoe and give somebody
The Sun quoted mistletoe expert Jonathan Briggs.
That's a great gig, isn't
it? Surely just grows wild, doesn't it? How much of an expert do you need to be?
You can't sort of future-proofing a business. It's a bit like Noddy Holder writing Merry Christmas, Everybody. At least every Christmas you're going to get work. That. You're going to be, during December, you're always going to be busy. Now, a couple of things, Andy, I want to just tell you about the boys and girls about. So, three things, actually. It's Football Shirt Friday today. We hope you're taking part for the Bobby Moore Fund, Cancer Research UK. It's pretty straightforward. You wear a football shirt and ideally, well, almost certainly you should, because you're wearing the football shirt, make a donation as well. The easiest way to donate, a fiver, for example, you text SHIRT to 70180. That's 70180. It's pretty straightforward.
Nice and easy.
And that's probably the easiest way to do it. You can go to their website. There's more information there if you'd like to give more, etc. But that's a pretty decent way to start. I'm sure if you text 10 to shirt, that will work as well. And it's just a day. It's slightly belated this year. They had to postpone it, but here we are today. A lot of people are taking part. Mm. And Andy is wearing his Pescara shirt. We've got a picture on the TalkSport website. That's that came out around the time when the virus hit, and it was in support of their medical services.
Yeah, I think it was the guys from Classic Football Shirts brought it out. And yeah, a portion of the profits went to the NHS charity. So it's great. It's
did Pescara
shirt.
Not wear it? Is that not? Was
well,
it
I think it was, but I don't think that was the idea. I think that's just their colours. I think you just happened to go inside.
I'm wearing Barcelona of Ecuador.
that is so obscure.
My son went there, my oldest boy, and picked me one up. And I've never seen a shirt with so much advertising. It makes cycling jerseys look underplayed. They can barely see the colour of it. It looks like a Watford shirt, which is slightly troubling.
It's got the sort of Barcelona colours in the badge.
It's got a Barcelona badge, yeah.
It must be related in some way. I know the club, but yeah. I've even seen them play. But
we've got a Watford shirt in the studio, so
a producer wearing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Not just the shirt.
No, I don't see him as a producer. I just see him purely as a Watford shirt, as an empty Watford shirt. And he's going to be changed. He's like Madonna of Football Shirt Friday. He's brought in three shirts, and he'll put a fresh one on every hour.
Yeah,
and we'll tweet out the details again, allow you to make a donation for a fantastic cause.
So, and of course, James, who works with us, he's wearing. Actually, he's not. I can't see him.
He's in vintage Barca.
Vintage Barca.
In what he called. He's what he called it. It was the fat Ronaldo era.
The worst nickname ever for such a brilliant player.
If it wasn't for Cristiano Ronaldo, we would just call him Ronaldo. But unfortunately,
He did go a bit to seed after he stopped playing. But what a player he was
at Barcelona, especially at that sort of era. So he's gone vintage.
Wonderful player.
So anyway, whatever you can do. A couple of other things. Yesterday, I've got to be honest, I was a bit off. I mean, you probably didn't notice. I'm not particularly good any day. I just was a bit below par. The words weren't flowing. So I was a bit. I don't know what it was.
It was good of you to come out in sympathy with me and match my performance.
That's why I match your performance to see what it felt like to be down there. So and I didn't know what it was. I had a bad headache all day. I thought I was sickening for something. And for a reason I'll go into in a minute, I didn't drink any tea or coffee at all yesterday or the night before.
I told you that's what it was.
And Andy said to me, it's caffeine withdrawal. I said, leave off. It's only been about 36 hours. And he said, that's what it is. And man, I think you were right. And it's quite worrying that a morning cup of tea and maybe a morning coffee, mid-morning coffee, can make that difference to you, to really, really affect
that's
your
the
mood.
Point
like
of it,
that. I know it is.
That's why I hate decaf.
But to that,
what's the point?
But to that effect, you know, to kind of, because I was noticeably down and...
I think you had a terrible headache.
I know, it was weird. And the reason I didn't drink tea is I donated plasma last night. And you've probably heard the ads on the station. Cut a long story short, I took the Imperial College test. They sent it to me at random. It's part of a survey. I took the test, did the blood test. And apparently, although I'd had no real symptoms, they said I had the antibodies. So I went off last night. It was all very straightforward, the whole process. I was there for just over an hour, and that included being explained everything by the nurses. The staff were brilliant. They just got on with it. They draw the plasma off, and it's all very straightforward, and I'd happily do it again. So if you've had the virus and you believe you have the antibodies, it's an opportunity really to help people that maybe have had it worse than you have and need some help. So I'd say sign up. It's a really easy process, and I would recommend it.
I tried to donate our telly, but they didn't want it.
And if they
not that kind of plasma.
And what they do next is if they find the antibodies are good enough, they invite you back. If they're not, then you've give it a crack anyway. So I'll find out in the next couple of weeks if they want me back or not. But yeah, I'll just say it's an easy process. If you're thinking, do I want to put myself through that? Honestly, it's pretty straightforward, and it could help a lot of people. So give it a crack.
Absolutely. Great idea. And now, there's been a lot of chat, and rightfully so, about football and dementia and heading and various things, and Frank Lampard talking about and doing less in training. But Dale Vargas wrote to the Times with an...
Known as Lass in the dressing room.
Very much. With an old solution from Harrow Football, one of the games in which association football evolved and still played at Harrow School, where the ball is too big and heavy to head. Instead, it's played with the shoulder. So he thinks that the banning heading would be remove a fundamental part of football.
What we could call a Declan Rice.
Yeah.
Really?
But how's it going to work? I mean, can you imagine with VAR, if you could only shoulder it in?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Eddie Jones has stoked things up a touch in the build-up, suggesting that the Ireland team are a bit of a United Nations. They have one or two players from a New Zealand or indeed South African background. So the Japanese slash Australian coach has had a go at Ireland. Giles Regan joins us now, the Irish comedian, podcaster, Liverpool fan and rugby fan indeed. Giles, good afternoon.
Great to talk to you, boys. How are you keeping?
Not so bad. It wouldn't be the same, really, without a bit of a wind-up from Eddie Jones, would it, really? I mean, how do you use this water off a duck's back as an Irishman?
Absolutely. I mean, he does love a wind-up. And I think that it's nearly a little bit Trumpian in that he's got a limited playbook in terms of his wind-up. He's like that guy on the site who you're like, oh, that he always says that. His scummy Irish comment stuck in the craw a little bit, because we knew when that was found out that it was really discovered, and it was a kind of a really private event where that was said. This is much more of a niggle for the sake of a niggle, because this is well-worn territory, and the change from 3 years to 5 years for these residency rules really has kind of ironed out the creases in this and taken away the opportunity for opportunism when it comes to qualifying your players internationally. And also, lads, let's face it, there are other international players playing at club level in Ireland and the UK who can't get into the squads. I mean, they just can't. So it also is, it does raise a question of identity. Like, what, when this stuff comes up, I find it brings us back to, well, what is it to be English and what is it to be Irish? All of these guys that are in the Irish squad, any of the players in the squad will tell you exactly how committed they are and that this isn't done on a whim. And I'm sure it's the same with the English boys.
Absolutely.
I agree. I mean, virtually all countries have this. And our old friend Mark Bertram, he was Canadian. He's never even been to Canada. I don't know. But he sort of felt it, didn't he?
Yeah, of course, when you play for the country. I mean, you've got a couple of Englishmen in there. Well, Billy Burns could well get on. His brother Freddie, of course, has played for England before. I think Billy was England under 20s. So, I mean, Austin Healey in his column in The Telegraph today, I don't know if this one, if he was having a bit of a pop. He said, surely the Ireland fans, part of them inside, feel sad that the whole 15 is no longer coated in freckles. He says, that's his turn of phrase.
Jonathan, like,
I heard you prickle.
Yeah, well, audibly, I mean, he prickle. Really is dipping his toe in the xenophobic water there. I mean, like, really, what's the purpose of that comment? And also, what does it suggest he's suggesting Irish people think? Yeah. I mean, surely there's a lot of Irish people that look at this team and go, wow, that's great, because that's much more reflective of the population of our country today.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I totally agree with that. Oh, we're going to talk a bit of Liverpool as well, your club, going through it at the moment. And we
might get a game this weekend.
Yeah, if you take your boots, just hang around. It's. I mean, it's, you know, how's your luck, really? It's been incredible, isn't it? All these injuries and Salah out for a couple of games as well. Three games.
Absolutely. I mean, let's be honest, every Liverpool fan knows that we rode our luck a lot last season. There were games we shouldn't have won. There were decisions that shouldn't have gone our way. It reminded me a lot of, you know, some of those United titles back in the 90s, where you were like, they were really never beaten until the whistle blew. I don't believe in karma or what goes around comes around, but things do tend to balance out in football, don't they?
They do, and what I like about Klopp is he doesn't really make excuses pre-match. He's been speaking this morning saying, yeah, all right, we've got injuries, but, you know, you could give the other players the remainder of the players an excuse if you started saying, oh, we've got this one missing and that one's missing and what are we going to do? But he doesn't do that, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens this week, because it is a tough game this weekend.
And yeah, look, it's been said a bunch of times, but it needs to be said again, the messaging and the articulation of this man. I mean, I know some people have a man crush on him, like, for other reasons. But for me, as a communicator, as somebody who talks for a living and somebody who's trying to raise a young boy to be a man, I do look to how he manages to take negative situations and turn them positive. I mean, take that Everton match. Virgil gets smashed. The officials miss an obvious red. And we made a bunch of mistakes in the game. And Jurgen comes out afterwards and goes, yes, we took all of our mistakes and we put them into one game and now we move on.
That's very good.
And I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. That's a great way to look at having a terrible day at work. I put all my mistakes into one day. Now the rest of the week is going to be great.
I did that yesterday, hopefully. Now, finally, you've taken on a bit of a challenge, haven't you, via your Irishman Abroad podcast. Tell us more about this.
Yes, I have teamed up with perhaps Ireland's greatest track and field athlete of all time. I don't think there's any perhaps about it. Sonia O'Sullivan is an Olympic medalist and a world champion over 10,000 metres. And she now lives in Australia and was locked down in Ireland during the first lockdown. And she and I have been friends for some time. And I guess, like a lot of people, I just never saw myself as a runner. But as a result of lockdown, I was like, well, that's really the only exercise I'm allowed to do. Give Sonia a bell. And we kind of concocted this idea. Would it be possible to take me, somebody who has never run around the block in his life, and take him to a marathon in the space of a year? Sonia felt absolutely. And the challenge began. The Irishman Abroad Running Challenge is now a regular podcast every Tuesday on our feed, the Irishman Abroad feed. And you can do it too. I mean, we're having hundreds of listeners that are now sticking on the runners, getting out the door. And as Sonia says, it's gradual build-up. But you get Olympian coaching for free.
Well, it's pretty good. How's it going from your point of view, sort of in these early stages?
Pretty great, I'll be honest with you. I mean, she is astonishing that, you know, I struggled, you know, the first month to do 3 kilometers without feeling like I was going to die. And then suddenly, guys, there was this, you know, people talk about runner's high. It's like running is like somebody that it takes a while to warm to. There are a few times that you're around with them and, you're not really doing it. Then you go on a date and you have the time of your life and you're like, actually, I think I might be falling in love here. And I have fallen in love with it to the point where I had a bit of a back thing the other week and I went pretty low. I went pretty low at the thought of not getting out there because it becomes nearly, I'm sure you have listeners that will agree with this, that it nearly becomes like a therapy or a meditation to get out there, pound the pavement for an hour and come back. And it's also, let's face it, lads, a little bit of time away from the family.
Jonathan, good to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining
Great
us.
Great to talk, boys. Thank you.
Take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I don't know if you saw this little funny little piece with Scott Carson today. He's been on loan, I think, at Derby, hasn't he? But he's still technically a City player.
Oh, right. Okay.
He was talking to ESPN, and he said the players had a special surprise for me last Christmas. My secret Santa was a tour of the Etihad Stadium. He said that I give out a lot of sticks, so I've got to take it. He said defender Kyle Walker, who was winning goal against Atalanta last season when Edison was injured and Claudio Bravo was sent off. Kyle always tells me he's had more goalkeeper appearances for City than me. That's great.
That is good. Yeah, that's fair
good
enough.
Work.
Downing, so this is an interesting one. They've urged people to keep windows open this winter to cut the risk of spreading the virus. Mm. And it says, this is in the Times yesterday, people should either open their window wide for short, sharp bursts of 10 to 15 minutes every couple of hours, or leave them cracked open throughout the day. That's a strange way of putting it.
Oh, yeah, you crack open a window?
Do you?
Don't you think, yeah?
What, with a brick?
No, you've never heard that phrase before. What's that? You've never learned chess and you've never heard the phrase crack open. You've gone all this way in life.
Never heard
that,
on
hearing
it.
That. If you want to crack open the window, I would do that with Ronnie O'Sullivan, who, to put no finer point on it, broke wind at the Crucible. Was it at the Crucible that he did this or not? I can't remember where he did it. No, it was quite recently, wasn't it, in the tournament?
Yesterday, was it?
Was it yesterday? Okay. He's probably done it more than once. But I know, I think apparently then he blamed the referee.
Yeah, he
did. But then admitted to it and said he was proud of it. And the one in 2013 was against Judd Trump, wasn't it? I mean, he was obviously doing it on purpose.
Obviously he was,
but there we are, good old Ronnie says it was a dietary thing that he had no control over. But he's incredibly proud of the volume level, apparently. So
the Sun readers are a bit, they're not happy about Summer Monty's Fulham new stand. He's looking very nice, actually.
Okay.
as we like to...
A new name every day.
He says, does anyone know what Summer Monty's Fulham blah, blah, blah does for a living? Says Harriet Early.
Barmaid.
Get a job, she says. Get a jumper.
She has got a job.
Get a jumper on and get a job. I've said, yeah, she's got a job. She's a barmaid.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Squad number 9, Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. You okay?
Yeah, yes, we're not too bad. Much. Yes, okay. we are in full flow with Football Shirt Friday for the Bobby Moore Fund. And I don't know if you've not donned the old Hammers vintage shirt this afternoon, Martin, have you?
No, I haven't. I don't look good in a football shirt, so I've not.
is it an age? Do you think that's a cut-off? I mean, I won't normally wear them, but you think that's a cut-off?
That's definitely a cut-off. The cut-off, I would say, is about 35, so neither of you two should be wearing them either. But it's a good cause, obviously, and support the cause.
It certainly is. So, are we going to talk a bit of fishing today? Is this right?
Yes, we are. Sport fishing. Okay. Now, I'm not sure whether I think of fishing so much as sport, because I mean, basically what you're doing is you're trying to outwit a fish. When you think of that, I mean, very, very few fish have ever got a degree, even from a Russell Group university, and very few of them turn up on Question Time. So there's this show called Monster Carp, which is, in a way, it's a bit of a tribute to Eric Hall, whose show was Monster Carp.
Of course it was. I like that.
Yes,
very good.
Absolutely. Well, this one is just called Monster Carp. Mm. And basically, it reminds me, I know you were mentioning Paul Whitehouse earlier on, but you may remember from the Fast show, there was this sketch about off-road racing, which had Simon Day and Paul Whitehouse in it. And they were always saying that, you know, the two guys were saying, let's off-road, let's rock and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, this programme actually does that. There's three, I'll tell you what the pitch is at the start of it. It says, three fishing mad amigos travel the world with one thing on their mind, carp. And I thought to myself, if you're travelling the world, you ought to have something more on your mind than just carp. Because it's an interesting planet and there are all sorts of things going on. But basically, it's all about catching a carp over the 100-pound mark.
Yeah.
And that is a hell of a fish, 100 pounds. Mm. I mean, that is like a person, isn't it? That's seven stone and a bit.
Yeah.
Or two supermodels.
Not a lot of people here at TalkSport are seven stone. don't have to tell
you. Well, that's true, but But anyway, so these three fishing mad amigos who are Ali Hamidi, Neil Spooner, and Tom Dove. Yeah. But you know these people, Dovey, I think they call.
Well,
them.
Ali's been on the show before.
We listen to Fisherman's Blues every week, so we know all about this.
It's a big popular show. People in the world of fishing love it, Martin.
They do. And if you want to see this one, they go to Thailand. It's on episode 11, is the one you're looking for on the ITV hub. Anyway, they go on this journey to Thailand, and the question is asked, will our journey change dreams to reality? They go to two sort of fishing resorts. And that, again, seems to me to be odd, because the fishing resorts are deliberately stocked with fish, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? So you're not...
what would you suggest as an alternative then?
Well, I'd send chickens. Them somewhere.
Chickens with aqua lungs.
Yeah, anything like that. That's $1 million idea there. You want to pitch that one.
I think it's a Frank Zappa song, isn't it?
It could very well be. They actually used the phrase at one point in this one, suck it up, boys, let's rock and roll, before they go out there.
Haven't we all used that at some...
Well, again, Paul Whitehouse, Simon Day, know, beyond that, I think it was
Charlie Hickson. I don't want to start contradicting your fast show. I think it was Charlie Hickson, Simon, in that particular sketch.
No.
Simon,
Tommy Cockles was Simon Day. And
that's right. Yeah, they really were marvellous times.
Marvellous times, weren't they?
It's quite revolting, the carp, isn't it? It's an ugly fish.
Oh, yeah. And they pick this fish up. It's 135 pounds, this fish. So that is almost the weight of a presenter at Talk Sport. But it's 135 pounds. It is a big fish. And they actually do kiss the fish. You see the guy giving the... You
ever kiss the fish, Martin?
I'd like to see them holding Alan Brazil in the water like that.
holding him underneath. That'd be fantastic. Catch and release. Precisely. I don't want to go back.
Anyway, if you like that, I've never kissed a fish.
No, okay.
As it happens. Never even caught a fish. But I do distinguish between angling, you know, which is the, Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer thing, that which was a brilliant programme. That's great, you know, sitting by the riverbank philosophising. And then this other thing, which is more like sort of off-road racing.
Like a kind of Top Gear for fishing. I guess that they pitched it.
That's a great pitch. Top Gear for fishing, yeah, brilliant.
Well, I think they've done it. Bundesliga, Martin, we're off to the Bundesliga.
Yes, not the Bundesliga as such, but a documentary about the team, the Berlin Union team. It's called We Are Union, and it's on BT Sport. Still there, I think, if you want to catch up on it. But it's one of those documentaries about teams where the fans are a bit bananas, you know. It's about the fans. And this team, this Berlin team, has never been in the Bundesliga. It's a sort of, it's got its roots in Eastern Germany rather than the West. But the fans are known for being fanatics. And we see some of their songs that they sing on the terraces. But, of course, they've had to be translated. You know, they're singing them in German and they sound quite uplifting. But then they put a translation on the subtitles where our famous colours are white and red. We'll stay true to them until we're dead. Oh, dear. I don't know what the original German was, but I'm suspecting it was... Probably a wee bit more inspiring. Yeah. But they're in the Bundesliga for the first time, and the documentary is all about whether they're capable of staying in the Bundesliga, and it comes down to the last match, etc., etc. So I'll watch that, and I would recommend it.
Union Berlin, that's a good story. Mm. We'll check that out. It's an
interesting story, to be honest. I've been watching the ATP tennis. I suspect you have as well, Andy. I've enjoyed that. Tim Henman and Andrew Castle doing the commentating. But I was interested in one of the questions Andrew Castle asked Tim Henman. They were talking about the speed of the service. Mm-hmm. And he asked him, is it possible to do any training, any particular techniques to improve the speed of your serve? Or is that something you're born with? And I thought, how difficult must it be to test whether a baby has a fast serve? Whether the baby sort of pulls the dummy out and throws it or not. I don't know. But anyway, it looks like I've been watching Djokovic and Zverev this afternoon, and it looks like a Djokovic-Nadal final.
Which is any predicted, I believe, from round one. And yes. Martin, we're nearly out of time, but you want to talk about the joy of being Scottish, even though you're not Scottish?
No, I'm not Scottish in any way whatsoever, although I did go to university up there. But it was a contrast, really, between England, Iceland, and A View from the Terrace, which is a regular show, just goes out on BBC Scotland. When I watched England, Iceland, afterwards we're saying, you know, what talented players we have, you know, talented young players, Phil Foden, Mason Mount, and especially Declan Rice. So we've got these, but, you know, we know not to get too excited about this, because all these conversations have been had over the years before major tournaments, whether it's, you know, Lampard and Gerrard or whatever. So we don't get too excited. My God, last Saturday's View from the Terrace, of course, in the wake of Scotland's excellent first half performance against Serbia and then winning on the penalties, God, they got excited. It's Craig Telfer, Craig Fowler, and some other guy not called Craig.
All right.
And, yes, which, yeah, I don't know where they got him from. Sean McGuigan, I think, is the other guy. But they were getting so amazingly excited about it. And I was almost envious of the fact that, you know, they were talking about Lyndon Dykes and Ryan Christie and John McGinn. Well, John McGinn, obviously, we know he's performed exceptionally well for Villa this season. But Lyndon Dykes is a QPR player, isn't he? I think in the Championship.
He's decent, though.
He had a terrific game.
He's a good player, but, you know, when you compare him to some of the players, that, do you know what I mean? Your ability as a Scots fan to get that excited about what you're going to do in Euro 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know how it's going. We all know it's going to end in tears.
But Euro 2020 for Scotland is nothing.
It's massive.
Except for one game. That's it. That's the whole of the tournament.
I think they'd like to go through to the next stage, wouldn't they? They wouldn't mean to England and winning the other two.
They wouldn't care. No, they wouldn't even want that.
You'll see when it comes round, of course.
Just very quickly, I watched the most obscure game of football I've ever watched.
You have to be quick.
I was so bored with the 3-0, England were 3-0 up. I can't remember what Wales was. I watched LSU versus Texas A&M in the SEC soccer tournament quarterfinal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 0-0 at the time. It was more competitive than the other game.
You're the only one watching. Martin, you're back overnight, I understand.
Back overnight. And by the way, next week I hope to talk about the Jack Charlton documentary. It's not released till the 20th. It's on the 23rd.
It's excellent.
It comes out on Netflix. Everybody who's seen it tells me it's brilliant.
It is brilliant,
So I will definitely talk about that next week.
Excellent, Martin. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Let's look at some of the non-sporting telly that's happening this weekend. I mean, there's so much sport, wall-to-wall-free football. But look, you can still find time, can't you?
Yeah, of course.
Mike Ward, Brighton supporting TV columnist for The Star, joins us. Good afternoon, Mike.
Yeah, I switched back from Birmingham that you put.
Oh, yeah, I gave you Birmingham last week. Yeah,
we didn't get on.
Soon changed clubs, didn't you, really? Didn't like the look of them. Once they sold Jude Bellingham, you weren't interested.
That's it.
Now, Richard Osman, we mentioned him earlier on, playing up front for Liverpool in the clips of the week. But a lovely man, and his House of Games show has been sort of late, sort of early evening on BBC
Two. Yeah, sort of 6 o'clock BBC Two.
But it kind of felt it had more in it than that, and that's why BBC One have picked it up.
An awful lot of programmes are now getting that little promotion, aren't they? Yeah. They're getting moved over to sort of slots that they're not familiar. Yeah, it's up there with MasterChef, The Professionals, you know.
Oh, indeed.
The similar sort of thing. House of Games night. So it's pretty, you know, not, you know, radically different from what you're used to, but Jennifer Saunders and Jermaine Genus are among the people who are going to be the regular competitors on the show for the coming weeks. So it's a bit like, you know, with Taskmaster, you have the same people competing each week, so you develop a little story, you know, relationship evolves.
That's been good, that series, fun.
Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant.
The House of Games, thing about it is I've always been really impressed with the quality of the games, because they have to keep coming up with new stuff all the time. There's very few duffers in there. So whoever comes up with the ideas on that show, obviously, I mean, some of them feel like it could be old game shows, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just they probably were a lot of old ideas that came in, because Richard worked in that area for years as a producer.
True.
Maybe there's all these games that didn't quite fill out half an hour.
They went through the shredder and got the sellotape out.
Made a good strand, but wasn't a whole short half-hour show, but and it's very good.
And great prizes as well. You can win a House of Games. All the prizes, obviously, you've got his sort of his likeness etched on them. Yeah. So there's a House of Games teapot, which is a fantastic prize.
Ooh, Jennifer Saunders is currently in There's Something About Movies, which is also very
You enjoy that, Andy? It is a good show.
Without giving away too many spoilers, there's a first question. I think it's the first question in tonight's programme. It's a football question, so it's obvious who the first person to get that right. Is it Jermaine? No, Jennifer gets it right. Jermaine doesn't.
Well, that's good. If you haven't seen it before, it's good stuff. 8:30 BBC One this evening. I'm a Celebrity continues.
It does.
And, not for me, it doesn't.
No, not for Andy, it doesn't. And it's kind of been on the background a few times. I've not been watching religiously.
Andy, did you just dip in and dip out or just not dip in?
I watched it in the early days, but I don't like the Bush Tucker trials.
It's gone off it since Tony Blackburn was dethroned.
I might as well show last year's. I only do judge it from what I read in the press, but it's the same thing. Oh, look at the meeting, this horrible thing. Yeah. They voted one bloke to keep
doing it. Now, you think this is MasterChef the Professionals?
Well, about 6 million people can't be wrong. No. Jordan North has been the star so far, a radio presenter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick my neck out here and say when this is all over, he's going to get his own series on ITV2. Now, you heard it here first. I think that's evens with Paddy Powell.
I think Victoria Derbyshire's hoping for that as well.
Well, I mean, I'd say I've not seen a lot of it. I've seen a lot of Shane Ritchie in it. He seems to be coming across well.
As does
Jordan. How's Mo Farah been doing?
Mo Farah's actually doing okay, because I was a bit worried that, you know, we talked about the fact that competitive people on entertainment shows can sometimes grate a wee bit because they're just a bit too competitive. They can't crank it down at all. But he's been okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Has he done the MoBot?
Yeah, I did that first night.
Yeah, he was contractually obliged to, I think you'll find. Yeah. And then he doesn't have to do it again. Saturday night, we got some Icelandic drama. And Phil Foden and Mason Greenwood aren't in it.
That's the only reason you want to mention that.
So I also want to mention that the main star of it is someone called Nina Dog Phillips Dottier.
I thought, do I put that in? I'll leave that in for you to say. Yeah. I've no idea who this person is. You know me with programmes that are cold. You know, it's my B-jam factor creeping in again. I don't like TV that's cold, so I don't like Winter Olympics or Dancing on Ice. But this is
because you start to feel cold. Can you put a jumper on or something?
It doesn't work. No, it's an internal
thing. It doesn't work.
I've tried.
So watch anything cold, you get cold.
I don't like watching snow or anything on the telly, and it just genuinely dates back to when I worked for B-jams and I got stuck in the freezer. Not the actual freezer,
that's
but the storage
Saturday
cupboard.
Job trauma.
While they were running Ski Sunday on a loop.
That was the only telly you watched. How long were you in the... This was a pre... B-Jams was a sort of thing they got bought out by Iceland.
Back in the days. I'm sure I've told this before when I served...
This drama isn't set
Sharky.
In a branch of Iceland where a young Brighton-supporting TV reviewer gets stuck in a fridge, is it?
No, that's episode 3.
Okay.
It gets better. There's a lot of murder and cold people.
Yeah, these kind of... They're nice jumpers in these shows, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Beautiful. It's called The Valhalla Murders, and did we actually say what it's called?
No, he didn't.
Okay. It's on.
It's BBC on. 4, though. BBC 4. It's subtitled.
I've never been to Reykjavik, which is where it's set. Okay. I'd like to go.
I have been to Iceland. I went a couple of years ago, and it's one of the greatest holidays. It's, in all seriousness, it's one of the greatest holidays I've ever had.
I will pot off about 50% of the male listenership when I say, if they've not been... £10 a pint, lads.
Yeah,
£10 a pint. That's on happy hour.
We ordered. My wife and I went we ordered a bottle of wine with the dinner, and the woman just said a whole bottle.
Oh no,
that's not a bad sign.
Well, partly because she obviously thought we're alcoholics, which is and partly because we saw how much it cost when we got the bill.
Did you feel cold?
I won't go to Ricky.
Did you feel cold? 15 quid for a pint of Guinness, apparently. Yeah. Did you feel cold when you went to Iceland?
Bizarrely, no, I didn't. Because you know what I did?
Strange
I put a
man.
Jumper on.
Oh, you're a strange man.
Or you went in the summer.
Let's have a quick look at Strictly. Is Bill Bailey still the favourite?
He's still the favourite.
Oh, he was sensational last
week. I think, it's his to lose now, isn't it? He's doing absolutely amazingly.
And well done to Anton. I thought he was, he was led 2, but I thought he did brilliantly
He should always been one of those. He's fantastic.
It was just a good lineup, wasn't it? It worked. It worked really well with him doing it. He's a bit, I mean, I think he was a little bit too generous with his praise to begin with.
bit generous with the scores, but you know.
After, you know, I think the 11 was going a bit far. But I think I think, you know, if you did it for a few weeks, I think, you know, the mean streak would kick in.
Yeah. Who wants to be a millionaire? The £1 million question.
You missed out catchphrase, catchiest moment.
Well, we haven't got time for that.
I know, but can I just say that Catchphrase with Stephen Mulhern is one of my favourite.
Is he really?
Guilty pleasures.
Yes, good show.
And I bumped into Stephen Mulhern in a restaurant in Chiswick about 2 months ago.
Did he get trapped with him in a freezer?
No. I said to him, I love Catchphrase, and he looked at me as if I was mad.
Yeah, never do that. It's not worth it.
This is a kind of bit of talking heads, including their old...
Yeah,
that's right.
Who wants to be a millionaire? £1 million question. New six-part series. Because fortunately, conveniently, they've had six genuine, legitimate winners now. So that makes a six-part series where each week they can look back on one of them winning, which really doesn't fill an hour, so they fill the rest of the hour with some of the celebrities who've been on and telling you how tough it is, etc., etc., etc. But yeah, Judith Keppel, who won in November 2000, that's 20 years ago.
Wow, it's amazing. Last play one, that was remarkable. That.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Mike, keep warm, Mike. And we will put a jumper on, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So as promised, we have a bonus clip, and our assistant producer producing for us today, Jamie, found a clip on Fisherman's Blues. Jamie, would you like to introduce it?
I shall. Here is Nigel talking to his artistic guest.
Once I've got a digital version, then I'll paint it.
Wow, that is impressive. I couldn't draw a straight line.
Yeah, try using a ruler, mate.
Fantastic. There we are.
Excellent.
Bit harsh, but there we are. Well, there we are. That's the best of H&J today. We'll catch up with you on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.